New Beginnings, the audiobook of hope, a One Hope production, in association with the Center for the Blind of the Assemblies of God.
Tommy, what are you still doing up? You've got school tomorrow.
I can't sleep.
Tommy, turn your music down a little.
But it helps me relax, Dad.
You're 12 years old. What do you have to worry about?
I'm not good at anything.
Tommy, you're good at lots of things.
Like what?
Well, you're a good singer.
And how come I didn't get the solo for the concert this year?
Maybe the director had something specific she wanted.
Yeah, she wanted talent.
What?
We're talking about careers in social studies. My teacher gave us a test that's supposed to help us figure out what we're good at and what we're supposed to be when we grow up.
And none of the careers sounded good to you?
It's not that. I just don't think I can do any of those things. I'm not talented at anything.
You're young. You've got plenty of time to figure out what you're good at.
But my teacher kept saying that we are the future. And if we want to be successful, we have to start planning now. We have to figure out what our purpose in life is. But I don't know if I even have one.
Everyone has purpose. Everyone is made to do something important. God made each of us unique, and we all have talent.
I'm just a kid. How am I supposed to know what I want to do with my life?
Have you ever heard of the live long and prosper proverb?
Like in Star Trek. Dad, you're such a geek.
Well, it's an ancient proverb, even more ancient than Star Trek. It says, "My child, remember my teachings and instructions and obey them completely. They will help you live a long and prosperous life. Let love and loyalty always show like a necklace and write them in your mind. God and people will like you and consider you a success. With all your heart, you must trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Always let him lead you and he will clear the road for you to follow."
So I'm supposed to wear a necklace and then I'll live long and prosper?
It means that if your love and loyalty stand out, you won't have to worry so much. Being successful shouldn't be your goal. Use your talent to help others. Be loyal to what you believe in. You know God's word is true.
And trust God to help me?
Yes, Tommy, even when the road is blocked.
Like not getting the solo part?
Yeah, something like that. Did I ever tell you the story about this guy I used to know named Eric?
No.
He figured out what he was good at and how he could help others. But then something happened and it changed everything.
What happened? Did his road get blocked too?
Well, you could say that. Eric volunteered at a community center in the city. After a few months, he got a part-time job there, on weekends and after school. Nice place with basketball courts and ping pong tables, lots of activities to keep the kids off the streets. It was great with the kids, and the kids loved it.
Okay, everyone, let's line up for some free throw practice to warm up. Then we'll break into teams. Darius, is that your basketball?
Yeah, it's new. I wanted to try it on the court today.
All right, just make sure you get it before you go home today.
Eric.
Well, hey, Corey, what's up?
I don't really feel like playing basketball today. Is it okay if I sit this one out?
Are you sick?
No.
Well, something's bothering you.
Well,
why don't we go sit on the bench for a bit while everyone warms up?
Okay.
So what's going on?
You met my dad's girlfriend, right?
Well, yeah, I was at your house last week. Cassie and I were going to go to the movies, and your dad's girlfriend was there. She seemed nice.
Well, she's not nice. At least not to me.
What do you mean?
She yells at me a lot. And I think she likes my sister better than me. She took Cassie shopping yesterday, and she said I couldn't go with them. My mom would have never done that.
She's not your mom.
Well, she's gonna be my stepmom. My dad asked her to marry him last night.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I gotta spend my whole life with her now.
All right, look, you're gonna be okay. Let's talk about this some more. I'll come by the house this weekend and we'll hang out.
Promise?
Promise. Let's go play some basketball now, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's practice passing. Get a partner. We're gonna work on the bounce pass first. But keep away from the fence, Darius. We don't want you to lose your new ball.
My bad. I got it.
Wait, Darius, it's in the street already. Let me get it.
No, I got it.
Wait! Darius, watch out!
Eric! Help!
There's Eric's parents. Mr. Dillon.
Cassie.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
We got here as soon as we could. Where's Eric?
Is he okay?
They're working on him now.
You must be Cassie's little brother.
I'm Corey. I was there when it happened.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Eric's mother. He's still unconscious. I'm glad the two of you are here. When he wakes up, it'll be good for him to have friends around.
The doctor said he might have to have surgery.
Corey said Eric saved a boy's life?
Yes, we got a little bit of the story.
It was my friend, Darius. His ball bounced over the fence and he didn't even think. He just ran out in the street after it. Eric pushed him out of the way and then got hit himself.
Eric's a hero.
Thank you for saying so, Cassie.
Paging Dr. Stateman. Dr. Stateman, please.
It's been a while since we've heard from anyone in there.
I'm scared.
Do you remember what Mom used to say about being afraid?
No.
Stay in the shadow of God, all-powerful. Then you will say to the Lord, "You are my fortress, my place of safety. You are my God, and I trust you." That's in Psalms.
It's very true.
Why don't we pray?
That sounds like a great idea.
Can I start with another psalm? It's something my mom always read to me when I was afraid.
Go ahead, Cassie.
You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me.
Dear Jesus, you are a good shepherd. We know that you will never leave us or desert us. Lord, we need you now. Be with the doctors. Provide healing for Eric and help us deal with whatever is coming.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Corey, you know what?
What?
Jesus told his followers to love each other as he loved them. He said if you truly love someone, you would be willing to lay down your life for them.
Are you saying Eric's gonna die?
No, I'm saying Eric risked his life to save a friend. He put another person first. That's what Jesus asked us to do.
You know, the Bible talks about this teacher that once came to Jesus and asked him about the most important commandment.
A commandment?
Like the most important things we should do.
Right. So Jesus told the teacher, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important commandment." Then Jesus said something else. "The second most important commandment is like this one. And it is, love others as much as you love yourself."
And you know the Ten Commandments?
Oh, right, I remember. Don't steal, don't lie, don't murder, and there's some more.
Right, all of those Ten Commandments are based on the ones Jesus talked about. Love God the most and love others as yourself.
So that's what Eric did, right? He loves others as much as he loves himself.
He loves God, too.
Oh, there's the doctor.
Dr. Bethel, what's going on?
Eric sustained serious head trauma. It was touch and go there for a while, and we thought we lost him at one point. But a few minutes ago, he woke up. His heart rate began to increase, and it amazed us all.
Oh, thank God.
There was a complication, though. Eric's retinas detached during the accident. We've called in a specialist.
What does that mean?
Eric may have permanent vision loss.
What?
When he woke up, he was very disoriented and upset.
He's awake?
Yes, you can go see him. I'm sorry, family only.
We'll wait here.
Now, he may not be able to talk very well. We've just pulled the tube out that was helping him breathe.
Eric? It's Mom.
Mom?
I'm here too, Eric.
Dad, I can't see. Did they tell you why I can't see?
They're bringing someone in to look at you.
Why? What's going on?
Try to be calm, son.
How can I be calm? I can't see!
Eric! Can you get the door, please? Eric, are you in there? I'm getting the snacks ready. Can you get the door? Eric! Oh, great.
Is everything okay in there?
Eric, what are you doing? Why didn't you answer the door?
I'm going up to my room.
Stay right there.
I'm going up to my room!
Hello, Jenna.
Hello, Mrs. Dillon.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Thanks again for agreeing to come by the house.
Oh, no problem.
I was making some snacks in the kitchen and I had a little bit of an accident in there. Why don't you go ahead and sit down? I'll get Eric. Eric! He's gone to his room.
Why don't we just talk first ourselves?
Sure. Ed! Would you like some lemonade?
Sure.
Have a seat. I'll go get you some.
Hello, Jenna. It's good to see you again.
You too. How are you?
Well, to be honest, it's been a little rough around here.
Yeah, that's not surprising. How did he respond to the Braille tutor?
Not very well. He just sits there with his arms crossed.
He sleeps until noon every day. He's missed a lot of school. It's been several months since his surgery. We're just not sure what to do.
He needs occupational therapy. We can do that right here in your home, since he won't come down to the center. Look, we've dealt with difficult kids before.
Oh, he's not difficult. He's a great kid. This experience has just left him a little...
bitter.
That's not uncommon. Eric will come around. He has no choice. All right, Eric. This is what I want you to do. I want you to make your way across the living room using the cane.
Are there any chairs in the way?
Are there chairs in your living room?
Yes.
Then yes. You have to make your way around the chairs.
What makes you think I can make it around the chairs? I can't even make it down an empty hallway.
Walk slowly and concentrate. I'll go to the other side of the room. Just follow my voice. All right, come this way. Good.
Ow!
All right.
Who would set up chairs like this? Did a tornado go through here?
Let's try again.
What's the point?
Walking with a cane is a fundamental...
What if I don't need to walk anywhere? What if I just decide to stay in my room all the time? And listen to music? Why would I have any reason to ever leave my house again?
You say that now.
You really think it's going to get better for me?
Yes, I do.
Well, I don't need a cheerleader, and I don't need to be a better blind person. All I want is to be left alone.
This is going to be a long process, Eric. There's not going to be any magic happening. It's just you working hard. Let's take a break. I need to talk to your mother. Vivian?
How's he doing?
Being stubborn, like you said. There's a boy his age that might get through to him. His name's Matt. With your permission, I'd like to bring him here.
Definitely, whatever you think might work.
Matt's unique, and I think he'd be a good fit for Eric. Eric?
Yeah?
I'd like you to meet someone. This is Matt.
Hi, Eric.
I'm gonna let you guys talk.
You a shrink?
No. Have you been talking to a lot of psychiatrists?
Yeah. I found my inner child about 10 times already.
And?
He's a brat.
So Jenna tells me it's more than your inner child.
Jenna's annoying.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty much her job, though. So you work at a community center?
Used to.
Cool. And you play hoops?
Not anymore.
Me neither. I heard you got a pretty good jump shot.
Exactly how much research have you done on me?
Jenna gave me the lowdown.
Why should she give you the lowdown on me?
She thought we might get along.
That's not it. They sent you over here because they think giving me a new friend my age is going to make a difference.
How do you know I'm your age?
What are you, like 15? 16?
15. But how did you know that?
Your voice.
Sweet. You're using your other senses to gather information.
Great. You're another therapist.
No, I'm not.
They sent over a 15-year-old therapist to get through to me.
Well, do you blame him? Nothing else is working. You're being a hard-headed little twerp.
The 15-year-old therapist is disappointed now. So now I guess I'll have to turn my life around.
You know what? Grow up. Your accident was months ago, and you're still feeling sorry for yourself. You know why they brought me over here? Because I'm the one to tell you to get over it.
Get over what? The fact that I can't see anymore? How exactly does somebody get over that?
You can't see. Yes, that's terrible. But it's not the end. You need to move on. Your life isn't over.
Every part of my life that means anything is over.
You're wrong, and you're going to learn that. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to figure out what your goals are, short-term and long-term.
Why should I do this?
Because if you want anything, you're going to have to go through me.
I'm answering to you?
Yes.
Who made you my boss?
Your parents, now. Your goals.
What do you mean?
You need to get off your rear end, call Jen at the clinic, and apologize to her for being such an idiot. I'll talk to you in an hour.
Yeah?
Did you come up with your goals?
One.
You came up with one goal in an hour.
It's short term.
What is it?
I want to go back to school.
You mean your high school?
Yeah.
All right, good goal. There's a problem with that, though.
What?
You go to Washington High, right?
Yeah.
There's almost 4,000 students at Washington. How are you supposed to make it through the hallways without getting trampled like a cockroach? Plus, you gotta learn how to use note taker so you can type in what the teacher's saying, and you have to know some Braille. You listen to Jenna, and they'll send you back to high school. I guarantee it. Did you apologize to her?
No.
That's step number one. No apology, no high school.
What is this, kindergarten? I have to say I'm sorry before I can get a graham cracker?
You're visually impaired. Get used to not skipping steps.
Wow, Matt was kind of mean.
Tommy, Matt was giving Eric exactly what he needed. Some tough love.
Love? It doesn't sound like he loved him.
Sometimes you have to be tough with the people you love to get them off their butts. And Eric did. He worked on getting around with a cane and with Braille and other things. And finally, he was able to go back to school.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Cassie.
I haven't seen you in so long.
I've been busy.
You look good.
New sunglasses.
Oh, let me help you up the curb.
I don't need help. That's what the cane's for.
Oh, all right. Do you want to take my arm?
No, that's okay.
Okay. Okay, so I've got it all worked out with your teachers. They're going to let you leave class early so you can walk the hallways by yourself.
You didn't have to do that.
Oh, well, I just thought it would be easy.
Ow!
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have warned you about the garbage can.
Forget it.
The steps are coming up.
I got it.
Okay, all of your teachers know that they have to say out loud anything that they write on the board. And since I have algebra with you, I asked that I could sit next to you in case the teacher writes some equation on the board that's hard to understand.
Cassie, it's okay. You don't have to do all that. I have to get used to school being different.
Oh, watch out. There's a guy on a skateboard. Hey, watch where you're going.
Would you cut that out, Cassie? I'm okay. You don't have to lead me around anywhere.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to leave?
No. Just be normal.
Oh, okay.
How do the Sloppy Joes look?
No, I would go for the chicken instead.
Fried chicken, please. Never went for the Sloppy Joes before. Don't know why they would suddenly be edible now.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
What do you mean?
You're being weird.
What do you mean? I'm fine. What do you want to drink?
Coke.
Here's a cup. It's the third one from the left.
You don't sound fine. What's wrong?
You're about to spill. Can I take your arm? It's kind of crowded in here.
Sure.
My father's engaged.
To Gloria?
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I guess she's nice enough. It's just kind of quick, you know?
Well, the whole thing's probably pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, weird. I mean, it's no big deal, really. I mean, I've only got a few more years in my house anyway. Dad can do whatever he wants.
Sure he can. When's the wedding?
I don't know. February. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. You're walking too fast, Matt.
I'm trying to get there for dinner tonight, not breakfast tomorrow.
How do we know you're not going to lead me into traffic? I don't trust you.
Why not?
Because it's just like you to drop me into a manhole and call it a life lesson.
I'm about to drop you into a manhole just to shut you up.
Where are we going anyway?
My house.
What? Why?
Thought you might need a break from therapy.
Is there a mailbox in front of us? I sense a mailbox.
Who are you, Spider-Man? Calm down. Okay, we're turning right.
Into traffic?
This is my house.
I don't want to go to your house.
Why?
I'm not in the mood to meet anyone.
It's just my Aunt Brenda.
I don't want to meet her. Just take me home.
No, this is part of the deal. I call the shot, and you're having dinner with me. Unless you want me to just leave you here and you can find your own way home.
Why are you so mean?
Tough love.
So you love me now?
No, I love being tough with you.
Well, stop it. I know this must be so much fun for you, leading around the poor, helpless blind kid, but it's humiliating for me.
I know.
I'm tired of people feeling sorry for me.
I know.
I'm sick of being led around like a puppy.
I know.
Why do you keep saying you know? You don't know. You have no idea what I'm going through.
Yes, I do.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
How could you possibly know?
Because I'm visually impaired, too. I was born this way. But you're right, I don't know what you're going through. I never played basketball. I've never seen a sunset or a pretty girl. So I don't know what it's like to get those things taken away. But I have to learn to get on with my life and not let my blindness define me. That's what I'm here to teach you. Brenda?
Matt! Hey, you're late. I thought you were going to be here at 6.
Yeah, I was walking with the glacier. And Brenda, this is Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Nice to meet you.
I've heard a lot about you. Well, dinner's ready. Let's eat before it gets cold.
Oh, my brothers were so mean to me.
They were.
They found this. Where's the salt?
To your right.
Thanks. They found this effects tape, and it was night sounds, crickets chirping, that kind of thing. And they would play it in my room and tell me it was late and that I had to go to bed even though it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
How old were you?
I don't know, 5 maybe? Of course I couldn't sleep, and when I finally did, it totally messed me up. I got up ready for breakfast at midnight. I went to my mom's room asking for breakfast, but she hadn't even gone to bed yet.
Oh, they were so awful to you.
Wow.
What?
First time I've heard you laugh.
Well, I guess your pain is really amusing to me.
Whatever works. You done?
Yeah.
You want to go to my room?
Sure.
I'll clear the table and then we can go.
Don't worry about the dishes tonight, Matt. Just go.
What kind of music do you like?
Anything.
Nobody likes anything.
It just doesn't matter.
Good. I have some polka I think you'd like.
Okay, I guess it matters a little bit.
How about this?
Yeah, this is good.
You can sit at my desk. There's a chair at 10 o'clock.
How do you know about Spider-Man?
What do you mean?
You talk about Spider-Man. Do you watch the movies?
Not really.
Then how do you know?
Dude, I'm blind. I don't live in a cave. The same things interest me that interest everybody else my age. Just in a different way.
You've never been able to see?
No.
Well, how do you picture things? In your head?
I see things the way I feel them. I see things in terms of soft or hard, sharp or dull, good smelling or stinky. It's all I have to work with.
Do you know what colors are?
No, I've heard the sky is blue, but I have no clue what that means. You like this song?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Where are your brothers?
They live with my mom.
Your mom's still alive?
Sure, she lives a few miles from here.
Well, then why do you live with your aunt?
Hey, the football game's on.
What football game?
What do you mean, what football game? It's your school. Washington plays Pearson Heights tonight.
Nobody told me there's a football game tonight.
The ball is snapped. The quarterback fakes a throw left, hands off right, running back. He's blocked well.
Cassie, did you go to the game last night?
Yeah.
With who?
Keenan, Jessica, and Sarah.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know.
You didn't know what?
Well, I didn't know if you would even want to go, Eric.
Why not?
It's a football game, you know, where you watch. You can't even...
We go to every game together. It's not different now. I can still be part of the crowd, listen to the game, hear the band, eat the hot dogs.
Right, yeah.
Why would you suddenly leave me out of something?
You know, you have to give me a break here. I don't know how to treat you yet. I haven't figured it out.
Just treat me like you've treated me before.
I didn't have to lead you around the halls before. You have to admit, it's different.
I just need you to be my friend.
If you're my friend, you'll cut me some slack. I'm new at this. Come on, we're going to be late. You need help getting to class?
No, go ahead.
I'll see you at lunch.
All right, what did you come up with?
What?
Your new goal. I asked you to come up with a new goal.
I don't have one.
I gave you this assignment last night. What did you do?
Nothing.
What's the matter?
My friends don't know how to be my friends anymore.
Of course they don't. You have to teach them.
They're my friends. They should know.
Your friends are mind readers? Cool.
Friendship doesn't change just because circumstances change.
Where did you learn that? The Fairy Tale Channel? Of course friendships change. Good friendships hang tough through change. They don't go around it. Alright, I got your next goal.
What?
Get your friends back.
That's my goal?
Yeah, get comfortable with your friends again.
Well, how will I know when I've reached my goal?
You'll know. And Eric, you have to make an effort here.
Kai, why don't you sit down and rest for a bit? I'll make dinner. Hello? Are you okay? Yes, he's right here. It's Cassie.
Hello?
Eric, Corey's missing.
What?
Well, he's been gone since this morning. He walked to school but never made it there.
What about his friends? Did anybody see him?
No, the police are getting all our information and then they'll start asking around.
Okay, I'll be there in a few minutes.
Oh, thank you.
Her little brother's missing.
Corey?
Yeah. Mom, this could be bad. Just before the accident, he started to tell me about his dad and his new stepmom.
Well, you think he ran away?
Maybe. I told him we'd get together and talk about it, but I never did because of the accident.
Let's get over there.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt here. Let's take a moment to think about what's happened in our story so far. It's amazing how fast life can throw you a curveball. In a millisecond, your life can change completely. Sometimes it's because of the choices we make, some good and maybe some bad ones. But other times, it's because of situations we can't control, and it seems so unfair, like Eric's accident, or Cassie and her parents' divorce. And now, this sweet little kid, Corey, who's gone missing. We ask ourselves over and over again, why? Why did this happen to me? Life can be such a mystery, and we may never have all the answers to those hard questions we ask. But we can change the way we react in the situations that life throws our way. We can learn to control things like our attitude towards ourselves and others, appreciation for the good things in our lives, and rising above life's challenges. You are hearing a story about people who may be like you. The issues of their lives are challenging, for sure. Physical disabilities, family problems, people letting them down. How will we handle it all? How do you handle it? The good news is that you don't have to deal with it all alone. You can get help. You can talk with your parents, your youth pastor, or a school counselor. The best news of all is that you can talk to God about it. That's right, you can talk directly with God. When Jesus was on earth, he had followers. They were trusted friends and those that we call disciples. They were ordinary people that Jesus chose to help him do his work. Jesus' disciples traveled from town to town to help people and to share the good news of God's plan. They spent a lot of time with Jesus. His disciples noticed something different about him. Jesus often excused himself from his friends and the crowds. He found a place to be alone, and he prayed. I'd like to share an interesting conversation with you between Jesus and his disciples. It's from the Bible and can be found in the book of Luke, chapter 11. When Jesus had finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So Jesus told them, "Pray in this way. Father, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive our sins, as we forgive everyone who has done wrong to us, and keep us from being tempted." Then Jesus went on to say, "Suppose one of you goes to a friend in the middle of the night and says, 'Let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has dropped in and I don't have a thing for him to eat.' And suppose your friend answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is bolted and the children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you something.' He may not get up and give you the bread just because you are his friend. But he will get up and give you as much as you need, simply because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. So I tell you, to ask and you will receive, search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive, everyone who searches will find, and the door will be opened for everyone who knocks. Which one of you fathers would give your hungry child a snake if the child asked for a fish? Which one of you would give your child a scorpion if the child asked for an egg? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your Heavenly Father is even more ready to give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. Think about this. The Bible says if you're in trouble, you can ask God for help. He is your Heavenly Father, and He wants to help. Now, let's find out what's happened to Corey.
Do you have any more numbers we could call? Friends? Relatives?
He has an uncle in Richmond, but I can't imagine him getting that far.
Have you noticed any missing money? Any way he could hop on a bus?
No.
Do you think he was taken?
It's unlikely. There's a lot of kids and parents that take the same path to school. It seems like somebody would have seen something.
Cassie?
Oh, Eric, thanks for coming. Thank you, Mrs. Dillon.
No problem. We came as soon as we could.
Thank you.
Listen, Cassie, I need to talk to you.
What is it?
I talked to Corey right before the accident. He told me he wasn't happy.
Why?
Gloria. He doesn't like her. Have things been tense around here lately?
Well, she does yell a lot, but Corey never said anything to me.
I think that might be the reason why he ran away.
And it's all my fault.
Well, what do you mean?
Eric, you remember me in 9th grade. I was horrible. I got into so much trouble. My parents fought over me all the time. They blamed each other for my behavior. If it hadn't been for me, they never would have divorced.
Cassie.
None of this would be happening if it weren't for me. It's all my fault.
You can't blame yourself.
Of course I can. That's the way it happened.
But
I need to go tell my dad what you told me.
So did you talk this morning?
Yeah, I called. And I still haven't heard from Corey.
You know, Eric, you don't have to be here. You can go help.
And do what? Look for him? This didn't have to happen. I could have talked to him. I could have talked him out of it. He listens to me.
Why didn't you?
I was busy being blind. This stupid accident has decided to take more hostages than just me. Now it's decided to pick on a 10-year-old boy.
So it's the accident's fault.
What are you talking about? If it hadn't happened, I would have talked to him.
Did the accident take away your vocal cords, too?
Are you blaming me for all this? I was hardly in any condition to counsel someone.
Why not? What have you been doing for the last 3 months?
Recovering.
Oh, shut up. You've been busy feeling sorry for yourself.
How can you?
You know, Jesus told a story about a man who was beaten up and left by the side of the road. A priest walked by, saw the guy laying there, and kept walking. Then another dude walked toward him and pretended he didn't even see the injured man. He was so focused on himself, it didn't even occur to him to stop and help this poor man.
Look, I know this story.
Then a third man called the Samaritan. He was from a group of people that nobody liked. He walked by the guy who was all beat up, but he stopped and bandaged the guy's wounds and put him on his donkey and took him to get help. You're like the priest. That kid needed you and you did nothing. There are other people in the world who have problems, you know. It's not just you. You know what? That's it.
What?
I've been too easy on you.
Since when?
We're going to the community center.
Why? We should be out looking for Corey.
Everyone is out trying to find Corey and we've done everything we can do. You're gonna go get your job back.
All right, everybody, come on over here. Come over here. Yeah, gather around. We're just about ready to play dodgeball, but before we do, I want to introduce you to some people. Everybody say hi to Eric and Matt.
Hi!
Eric is a junior counselor here and has been for a couple of years. Some of you may remember Eric. And Matt is Eric's friend. You guys want to tell us a little bit more about yourselves?
Yeah, I really loved being a counselor here. But over the summer I got hurt. I'm okay, but I lost my vision. I can see some light and shadows, but that's it. It's been tough trying to get my life back. It stunk, but God's helped me through it. I learned a lot about myself and about God. People like Matt really helped. And this is part of me getting my life back, too. I came here today to find out if they would hire me back again, and they did. I'm not sure what all I'm going to be doing, but I hope to get to know you and to be able to teach you a few things.
Absolutely. Matt?
I'm here for the food.
All right, good. Let's all get our stuff and let's line up outside. So, Eric, are you coming?
Sure. Well, I guess I can cheer.
Sure, that'd be great. Okay, you guys, why aren't you outside yet? Let's go, grab your things, let's go. Come on, let's go.
So why did you bring me here?
Trying to help you get your life back.
And this was the way to do it?
You just told all these kids that you wanted your life back. Is that true or not?
I want my old life back.
This is as close as you're gonna get.
Well, then what's the point? I love working with kids. I have this drawing in my room. It's a sketch of a really cool camp that I was going to own one day. It had pools and a tennis court and some hiking trails and horseback riding. It was my dream to be a camp counselor. I can't even play dodgeball with these kids, so how could I ever run a camp? It was really cruel for you to bring me here. I want to go home.
Aunt Brenda?
Hi, Matt. Oh, you brought company.
Yeah, sorry, I'm throwing a curve at you. Eric's a little down. I thought he could use a home-cooked meal.
No problem. I'll just set another place. It's nice to see you again, Eric.
You too.
Where were you today?
Eric and I went to the community center.
Okay.
We'd rather not talk about it.
I see. Well, sit on down. I'm sure you're hungry. I'll get you a plate, Eric.
You like pot roast?
Sure.
It smells like pot roast. And potatoes. And what is that?
What is what?
I smell something else.
It's the pot roast.
It's not the pot roast.
What?
My mother's perfume.
Oh, that must be her. I borrowed her sweater the other day. It was chilly.
Is my mother here?
Oh, Matt. I'm so sorry.
What are you doing here?
I just came to...
Spy on me? You're trying to spy on me?
No.
Then were you going to jump out and scare the poor blind child?
It's my fault, Matt. She asked me and I told her she could.
She could do what? What is she doing here?
I wanted to see you. For a moment. I was only going to sit here and act like I was eating with you. Like we used to. When we were a family. I didn't mean anything by it.
Go.
Matt, she just wanted to see you.
Don't let her in this house again.
She's my sister.
Then go to her house.
This is my home. I can let anybody...
Then give me a day's warning if she's coming over. I'm not hungry anymore. These are the tales of a broken heart. Of a young girl lost in the dark. Searching for love until it's too warm. Go away.
It's Eric.
Whatever.
Okay, what was that about?
I don't want to talk about it.
No way.
What?
You're not getting away with that. I've been telling you all my deep, dark secrets for 3 months. And now you've got something you need to tell me?
It's none of your business.
Are we friends?
No.
Yeah, we are. And you need to tell me what's going on with your mother.
Fine. You want to know? I'll tell you. About 3 years ago, I overheard my mom and my aunt talking. She was upset and felt guilty because she did something.
Did what?
She did drugs while she was pregnant with me. She thinks that's why I was born blind.
Whoa.
Yeah, she made me like this, and I just can't be around her anymore.
Hello?
Eric, Corey's back.
You're kidding! Where is he?
Hiding in a friend's garage.
Is he at home now?
Yeah, he's talking to my dad.
Can I come over and talk to him?
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
I'll be right there.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Is he okay?
Just a little scared.
Where is he?
In his room. Dad's talking to him.
Has he mentioned anything about what we talked about? With your dad's fiance and stuff?
Not to me.
Can I go in?
Sure.
Corey, it's okay. We forgive you. You just can never do that again. You scared us so much. We were worried sick. Hey, Eric.
Hello, Mr. Jameson.
Eric!
Hey, buddy. You gave us a scare.
You were scared too?
Everybody was. But we prayed for you, and now you're home. Can I have a hug? Mr. Jameson? Do you think I could talk to Corey alone for a minute?
Sure, but why?
It's okay, Dad. Eric needs to talk to Corey.
All right. I'll close the door then.
Thanks. So what happened?
I ran away.
I know. Did it have something to do with what we talked about at the community center?
Yeah.
So you're upset that your dad's marrying Gloria?
Yeah, she's always mad at me.
Have you ever told your dad about how you feel?
No.
Well, how come? Because you're scared to talk to him about it?
Yeah.
I know him, and I really think he'd understand if you told him how you feel. I don't know Gloria very well, but I'm guessing she might understand too.
No, she wouldn't.
Okay. But it's like the chili cheese fries in the community center snack bar. Disgusting, right?
Totally.
But if you don't eat it, you're just going to starve. So you hold your nose and you try to shove it down your throat without it ever touching your taste buds, right?
Right.
Well, you have to live with her, and she has to live with you. So you just have to figure out the best way to do that, even if it means doing something uncomfortable, like going to your father for advice.
What does that have to do with chili cheese fries?
Absolutely nothing. Cut me some slack. Are you going to talk to him?
Yeah.
Good.
go.
Good. He's talking with your dad.
I'm really glad he has you for a friend.
Yeah. About that. Listen, I haven't done a very good job about being your friend.
What do you mean?
Well, I haven't talked about what you said about your parents' divorce.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't care. I have something to say. In ninth grade, you spent more time at my house than you did at your own, right?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. You were my best friend.
It was more than that. Cassie, I heard it too.
What?
The arguing. Your parents argued a lot. About everything. Not just you. Once I came to the door and they were arguing about socks.
Socks?
Somebody left some socks somewhere they weren't supposed to. Cassie, your parents had problems. Huge ones. That's why you were at my house all the time. You didn't want to hear that. And I don't blame you. It wasn't your fault. They're adults and they made their own decision. You can be mad at the situation, and you can even be mad at them. But you can't be mad at yourself.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And the other thing. If you have something to say, talk to your parents about it. If you have something to say, tell your mom and your dad. If they knew you were feeling this way, they'd be freaking out. Talk to them.
Well, as it turns out, you're a good friend to me, too. You want to go for a walk?
Sure. Don't run me into any hydrants. Corey talked to his dad, and I think they're going to work things out.
Cool.
He's a great kid.
It's good that he has you. So are you going back to the community center this weekend?
Well, I told you I wasn't.
I thought this might have changed your mind.
Why?
Because what you did last night with Corey is what you're meant to do.
What does that have to do with the community center?
Because what you did with Corey is exactly what makes you a good counselor. It's not about how good you are at organizing games or playing dodgeball. You're a good counselor because you're great with kids. They loved you. They listen to you, and they know you listen to them. Your gifts are not in your eyes. They're in your heart.
The counseling is such a small part.
Listen to me. Will you listen to me for 1 minute?
Yeah.
Do you remember the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Sure.
Well, you need a refresher. Where's my Bible? I have my Bible here. Start with Luke 22, verse 41.
I'm not great with Braille yet.
I know, it takes a while. Here, take this Bible and we'll read through it together. It's good practice. So Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew that the next day he was going to die on the cross. A horrible, painful death. So listen. Jesus walked on a little way before he knelt down and prayed. Father, if it is possible, don't let this happen to me. Father, you can do anything. Don't make me suffer by having to drink from this cup, but do what you want and not what I want. Then an angel from heaven came to help him. Jesus was in great pain and prayed so sincerely that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. He had a purpose. Jesus was sent to earth to die for mankind, and he knew it was going to be hard, but he did it anyway, just because it was his purpose and because he loved us. Being there for this kid is your purpose. You should do it, even though it's hard now, just because it's what you're supposed to do, and because you love those kids. The purpose is more important than the pain.
Okay, guys, can I have your attention? Go ahead and grab a seat. Thanks, be seated. Thank you. It's good to have the whole community here with us tonight. We're gonna have a band performance in a few minutes, but before that, we have a guest speaker, and it's an old friend. Please welcome back, Eric Dillon.
Hey, you guys. It's really nice to be back. I missed it, and I missed you. If you don't know this already, I've lost my sight in an accident. I've had a really hard time dealing with some stuff, but God pulled me through it. A lot of you are probably wondering how I'm going to fit into the community center. And honestly, I don't know either. I just know I belong here. A few months ago, I got home from the hospital after they told me that I probably wouldn't ever see again. And there was this night where I just went to my room and sat on my bed and just stayed there. I looked around, but I couldn't see my computer or my posters or my bed or anything. It was just darkness. And there was this really awful feeling that came over me. I felt alone, just completely alone. I sat there for what felt like forever, crying. I was afraid that it would never get better. Now, this is the point where I would love to be able to say that I heard angels singing or that I had a dream about God embracing me in his outstretched arms. But to be honest, I didn't. I just felt alone for a while. It took a long time and the prayers of a lot of wonderful people before it really hit me that I was never alone. God was always with me. Right now, I know that some of you may feel alone too. You've got some problems that you may not have even told anybody yet. But I'm here to tell you that we all do. Every one of us. You're not alone with your pain. You've got people around here who will listen. And you've got friends and family who will love you. And most importantly, you've got a God who loves you too. He loves you so much. And he knows what pain is too, because he watched his son die on a cross. Really, that's all I ever need to see. Anyway, let's get the concert going.
Nice speech, Eric.
Hey, thanks, Matt. So, since I'm already giving everybody advice, I'm going to take the plunge here.
With what?
Something I should have said a while ago.
Okay.
You need to forgive her.
My mom? I can't.
Why?
I have a constant reminder of what she did right in front of me.
So you've never made any mistakes in your life? Jesus said, don't judge others, and God won't judge you. Don't be hard on others, and God won't be hard on you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. You have no choice.
What do you mean?
This is going to haunt you. You've got everything so figured out in your life, and yet there's this one thing that keeps you from being free.
I can handle it.
You're not handling it. You're bitter and angry. You think she took something from you. How can you keep living like that?
She doesn't deserve forgiveness.
Neither do you, but God gives it to you anyway. I heard your mom. She's broken. She wants her son back.
It's so hard.
You're not doing it by yourself. And you don't have to do it all at once either. Start off slow. Just talk to her. Go to her house. You don't have to move back in. Just smile at her.
I'll think about it.
Good.
Matt?
Hi, Mom.
Why are you here? Are you all right?
I'm fine. I came to see you.
You did?
Do you want to go get some ice cream or something?
I'd like that a lot.
Okay.
I'll get my coat.
So, how long did you talk?
As long as the ice cream lasted.
And what did you learn?
That I missed her.
Cool. What time is it?
Feels like 6.
How do you know?
Feels like sunset.
You feel sunset?
Give it time, you will too. So describe a sunset to me.
A sunset? It's orange, sometimes purple.
Don't know what those mean.
So how can I describe it?
Use the senses that I do have.
Alright. A sunset is like the taste of a perfectly ripe orange.
An orange?
You've had oranges, right?
Of course I have.
So the taste of it is a visual equivalent of a sunset.
I don't get it.
Yeah, this is harder than it seems.
No, I just think you're bad at it.
Well, then you try it. Go ahead. Describe hip-hop to a deaf man.
Hip-hop is cotton candy.
Hip-hop is nothing like cotton candy.
Of course it is. Look, if we're going to be friends, you're going to have to get better at this game.
I'm going home.
Me too. Which way was the bus stop?
Left.
Wrong.
Right?
You're hopeless.
You've had 15 years of practice. I've had 3 months.
I bet I could crush you in a game of hide and seek.
Oh, I'd find you in a second. Just have to follow the smell of cheap cologne.
Matt and Eric had a long friendship that continues to this day.
Do you still know them?
I sure do.
Where do they live?
Very close.
Does Eric still work at the community center?
No, he's moved on to even bigger things.
Cool.
It's very cool. Look at the Bible, Tommy. When Jesus was picking out the people he wanted to follow him, did he pick the really talented people? Did he pick great speakers, great singers? No, he picked fishermen, a tax collector, ordinary people, just people who were willing to take a chance and follow him. That shows great heart, and that's what you have to offer the world, Tommy. You have a great heart.
I do?
I know how you are with your friends, even your little brother. You're an encourager. You're generous and caring. God can use a heart like that in amazing ways. He can use you to change the world.
Awesome.
And how about starting tomorrow morning, okay?
Okay.
So, if you're going to change the world tomorrow, you'll need a good night's sleep tonight.
I left my water over on my desk. Can you get it for me?
Sure.
Little to the left. 10 o'clock. Got it.
Here you go.
So what big things did Eric end up doing?
He fulfilled his dream of owning a camp. It had swimming and hiking and horseback riding.
Wait, he has a camp?
Sure.
Just like you?
Yeah, just like me.
Was Eric really his name?
I changed a few of the names.
Uh-huh.
Good night, Tommy.
Good night, Eric.
I think you're on to me.
Oh, and tell Cassie good night for me, too.
Cassie?
I'm sorry. Mom.
Can't slip anything past you, can I?
So, Eric thought his life was over after the accident, but everything worked out. And Eric realized that even though he had problems of his own, some of his friends had even bigger problems. Here's a few questions for you to ponder. How do you rise above the problems in your life? Do you let the problems and challenges you face define you? Do you have someone you can trust to share your thoughts and feelings with? Where can you go for guidance? One thing you can do is to read the Bible.
Did you ever wonder what is the Bible anyway? The Bible is one large book, but it's really made up of 66 individual books. It was written by more than 40 people over the course of 16 centuries. It contains poems, letters, songs, stories, historical documents, and more. As random as the Bible can seem, it really is one big story. The Bible is all about God pursuing a relationship with people.
This relationship with God is what people were made for in the beginning. But because of our doing wrong things, this relationship with God has been broken. The Bible is a story of God restoring people back into a relationship with himself. God sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to pay for the penalty of our doing wrong things. He did this so that we could be forgiven and have a never-ending relationship with God. Through Jesus, we can have a real relationship with God who loves us completely, with a love that doesn't depend on our goodness or ability to stay religious.
The Bible is also God's word written down for all mankind, and it has a lot to say about the everyday challenges we face. Throughout this amazing book, we read over and over again about the struggles of ordinary people. Good choices, bad choices, impossible situations, pain and loneliness. But they were all able to see the faithfulness of God. You can read about some of the major themes in the Bible. Here are some ideas of where to start.
Read about Adam and Eve, the first people God created, in the very first book of the Bible. What happened to change the course of history? What separated us from God? Read Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 to learn more. Adam and Eve had lots of children and grandchildren. Our relationship with God was broken by sin. Sin is doing wrong things. The world became an evil place where few people were faithful to God. Finally, it got so bad that only one man found favor with God. That man was Noah.
God keeps his promises to those who love him, but we must be faithful to him. Noah was faithful to God even when it was difficult, and only Noah and his family were saved. Like Noah, our actions can have big consequences. Read about what happened in Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8. All people born after the flood are descended from Noah. That's a lot of descendants. Abram was one of those great-grandchildren. He was faithful to God. God promised Abram that his descendants would become a great nation. He also promised him that through his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had twin boys named Esau and Jacob. Jacob, who was also called Israel, settled down in the land of his father, Isaac. Jacob had 12 sons, but his favorite was Joseph.
Later in the book of Genesis, we read about a young man named Joseph, whose brothers were so jealous that they sold him to slave traders. Joseph was later thrown into a prison in Egypt, even though he was innocent. He had no control of any of these events, and he should have ended up full of anger and bitterness. But Joseph trusted in God and learned to love even those who had hurt him most. Joseph knew that God's plans for his life were much bigger than anger and feeling sorry for himself. And he was right. Joseph became a leader in Egypt and ended up saving his entire family and his whole nation from starvation. At the end of his story, Joseph said to his brothers, "You tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the best, so that he could save all of these people, as he is now doing." Joseph's life shows us that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. Try to find out for yourself about Joseph's journey. Read Genesis chapter 37, chapters 39 to 43, chapters 45 and 47, and Genesis chapter 50.
In the book of Job, we read about another man who was a very successful family man and farmer. But in a series of events beyond his control, Job lost everything. His possessions, his animals, and worst of all, his children. He also suffered a horrible and painful disease. His wife became bitter and urged him to curse God for all the troubles in their lives. But Job saw beyond all the pain and tragedy in his life and chose to worship God. He decided instead to look for wisdom and understanding. In the end, he finds God to be faithful and assuring, and Job finds peace. To find out more about Job's life, read Job chapters 1 and 2 and Job chapter 42. We all have giants we face in our lives. David was a shepherd boy who battled an actual giant. You can read about him in 1 Samuel chapter 17.
And then there's the story of a man named Saul in the book of Acts. Saul's political job was to hunt down innocent people who chose to follow Jesus. Saul was a man whose choices to cause terror and death made him one of the most feared and despised men of his day. But something happened to Saul as he traveled down a dusty road. He was immediately blinded in a huge flash of light. The bright light was actually Jesus Christ, and he had some strong words for Saul and the life he was leading. Saul was blinded for 3 days, but the experience changed him forever. Saul became Paul, and he became a champion for the very same people he had victimized before. To read about how Saul met Jesus, read Acts chapter 9. Paul wrote many of the books in the Bible. He is considered, even to this day, one of the greatest leaders of the Christian faith. Even though his blindness went away, Paul's life continued to be filled with challenges. Paul was chased, beaten, thrown into prison, and ultimately murdered. But he never let any trouble change his attitude, his faith, or his mission in life. Even while in prison, he touched the lives of many thousands through the words of encouragement and hope. Read some of the chapters from Paul's letters in Philippians chapter 3, Romans chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and Ephesians chapter 1.
The most profound story of all is that of Jesus. He is God. He loved us so much that he left heaven and came to earth as a helpless baby. Read about Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2. After Jesus grew up, it was time to start his work. Before he began his ministry, he was baptized. Then Jesus was tempted in the desert. So Jesus faced temptation just like we're all tempted. But Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life. Jesus chose people to help him in his work. Remember when Matt talked about disciples earlier? These were men that Jesus chose to help him in his work. But these were not rich and famous people or big, strong soldiers. They were ordinary men. Read about all of this in Matthew chapters 3 and 4. Jesus helped so many people. He showed love and compassion to everyone. Jesus taught people how to live, how to treat others, and even how to pray.
Read more about the things that Jesus taught in Luke Chapter 6. One of Jesus' own disciples betrayed him. Jesus died a horrible death on the cross. To read about this, turn to Matthew chapter 26 and 27. But why did Jesus do this? It goes all the way back to the beginning.
In the beginning, God has a close friendship with the first people he created. Adam and Eve lived in this awesome garden called the Garden of Eden. There was plenty of food, no sickness, no death. The only thing that God asked of these two people was not to eat the fruit of this one tree in the middle of the garden. They did eat that fruit. Maybe it doesn't seem like it should be such a big deal, but it was. They disobeyed God and broke the trust and the relationship he had with them. Sin is also what causes all kinds of problems, pain, and separation from God in our lives. God is perfect in every way, and he is pure. So because of their sin, he had to send Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. They no longer had perfect lives. They grew old. They suffered pain and sickness too. Eventually, they died.
It has been the same ever since. We live in a world that is broken. Things don't work the way God wanted them to in the beginning. The worst part of all is not being able to have a relationship with God. But God didn't abandon us. And that is why God came down to earth. Jesus was the first person to ever live on earth that never did wrong things. Because he never sinned, he was able to cover our sins. Because Jesus did this, we can be forgiven of our sins, and we can have our never-ending relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father." Eternal life is a free gift from God.
Of course, Jesus didn't stay on the cross or in the tomb. 3 days after he died, he rose again. He spent time with his friends before he went back to heaven. Read Matthew 28 to learn more. Jesus' instructions on how to live and the details of his life on earth can all be found in the Gospels. The Gospels are the first four books in the New Testament of the Bible, called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
The last book of the Bible is called the Book of Revelation. In this book, God promises that he will make a new home for his people. The Book of Revelation says that he will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. These things of the past are gone forever. I am making everything new. Read Revelation chapter 21 and 22 to learn more about the end of the story.
What should you do? You can believe and act on what Jesus did. Admit that you're not perfect and that you've done wrong things. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. You can talk to Jesus. If you need help in what to say, you can just say this prayer. Jesus, I believe you were sent by God to pay the ultimate price for the sins in my life. Please forgive me and free me from my sin. Come into my life and help me to live this journey, knowing and following you. Thank you for answering my prayer. In your name, I pray.
The Bible has real answers for real problems. Read it over and over. Jesus had a close group of friends that shared his love for God. This is an example for us. We all need friends who believe in Jesus. Just like Matt was a good friend to Eric and vice versa, you can find good friends too. The life of following Jesus is never meant to be solo.
Here's one last question for you. Are you going to let your circumstances determine who you are? Or are you going to do the very best with what you've got? God made you in a very unique and special way. Time to start making the most out of the life that he has given you. Stay connected to God through prayer, through hanging out with other followers of Jesus, and through reading and memorizing scripture.
This audio production, titled New Beginnings, the Audiobook of Hope, was produced by One Hope in partnership with the Center for the Blind of the Assemblies of God. To learn more about resources available through the Center for the Blind, visit www.blind.ag.org. That's www.blind.ag.org. To learn more about One Hope, visit our website at www.onehope.net. That's www.onehope.net.
James Keller is Eric. Alan Lee is Matt. Catherine Campione is Cassie. Katie Lee is Tommy, Corey, and Jenna. Rob Norris is Tommy's father. Phil Lohler is Ed. Lisa Kent as Vivian. Donna Terrell is Dr. Bethel. Marie Francois Theodore is Aunt Brenda and Cindy. Michael Robles is Darius. David Washington as the policeman, Christopher Kent as Richard, and Fabio Anthony as Randy, with the original script written by Marshall Younger. With music from The Clockouts, Chrome, and J-Dub, and post-production by Saturn Sound Studios, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Some of the scriptures used in this production are taken from the Contemporary English Version, copyright 1995 by the American Bible Society. All rights reserved. Bible text from the Contemporary English Version is not to be reproduced in copies or otherwise by any means except as permitted in writing by American Bible Society, 1865 Broadway, New York, New York. Find them online at www.bible.com. Used by permission. This audio production is protected by the copyright laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, copying, or use of all or part of this audio production may result in civil liability and or criminal prosecution in accordance with applicable laws. Copyright 2011 by One Home. All rights reserved. Who was so in need of he so recently I walked by faith so I could be exactly what he needs me to be. Man of faith. Every step that I take, I walk by faith. I don't have to push weight, cause I walk by faith. I'm never forsaken, cause I walk by faith. Don't have to see the end, cause I walk by faith. Every step that I take, I walk by faith. I don't have to push weight, cause I walk by faith. I'm never forsaken, don't get it mistaken. I'm making a statement when I walk by faith. The quicker the money comes, the quicker the money goes. Cause there's a lot of dudes that had a million or more, but didn't really know how they should handle the dough, so in a couple months they was right back to being broke. That's why every step that I take, a beat by faith, I don't gotta deny weight. Cause I know sooner or later there'll be a day where I can't count the money that I make. So I take all I got and trust in him. Cause nowadays life is much too slim, even though some live life like it's up to them, not realizing that it's up to him. But they don't care cause they don't think their souls at stake until their family end up at their wake. Now they laying with their face up in the big pine box. So I'ma walk by faith until time stops. Every step that I take, I walk by faith. I don't have to push weight, cause I walk by faith. I'm never forsaken, cause I walk by faith. Don't have to see the end, cause I walk by faith. Every step that I take, I walk by faith. I don't have to push weight, cause I walk by faith. I'm never forsaken, don't get it mistaken. I'm making a statement when I walk by faith. Every step that I take, I walk by faith. I don't have to push weight, cause I walk by faith. I'm never forsaken, cause I walk by faith. Don't have to see the end, cause I walk by faith. Every step that I take, I walk by faith. I don't have to push weight, cause I walk by faith. I'm never forsaken, don't get it mistaken. I'm making a statement when I walk by faith.